Yes, the Doctrine of the Holy Spirit, Lesson 3. We left off last time at the bottom of handout page 3. And it says, thirdly, seven times Jesus promised he would give or send the Spirit. And those were the texts, Luke 24, 49, John 7, 37 and 39, all the way, a lot of them in John. John 14, 15 and 16 all had references. Jesus made reference to the promise of the coming Spirit. And also in Acts 1, verses 5 and 8, he's promised. And then the fulfillment of those promises are seen in Acts 2:1. Let's go to Acts 2:1, and we'll kick off from there. Acts 2:1, Jerry.
Acts 2:1, the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place.
Okay, and then 47 here.
Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
Okay, so King James says, Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So We can tell from that passage, again, we were talking at one of our Bible studies about God does all the work, does all the calling, and our job is just to go out and give the seed and not worry about who gets called and who doesn't, because that's not in our pay grade. And there's a good backup verse for that right there. And now in lesson 3, page 4, we're going to go to B. It says, the Holy Spirit was God's ascension gift to Christ that he might be bestowed by Christ as is his ascension gift to the church. Everybody get that? It was the Holy Spirit was gifted to us. Just like everything else that God does, he gifts his people. And the Holy Spirit was gifted. We see that in Luke 24, 49. Oh, page 4? Yeah. Page Luke 24:49. Who'd I ask to read? You? Andrew, read Luke 49. Okay, everybody see that? I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city of Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. They didn't have the power yet, right? They had the power, they had some power, but always remember this. Power always has to have a source. Always. Evil has a source, and righteousness has a source. And all power emanates from God. It's nothing we do. Everything that you do, you're empowered to do. That's an important distinction. See, in other words, you can look at it this way. You go around your life making free choices. You have given choices. Every day we're given choices and we make those choices. But the power to do them is endowed to you. It's something that is given to you. And the same is true of the unsaved. Every single day, they have to make the same choices as you do. Their influence is different because you're influenced by the Spirit of God and they're influenced by the spirit of disobedience. So you'll both go through your lives and you could be the most moral, upright, standing citizen and be a moral high ground. But you're still being influenced by the spirit of disobedience because Jesus said, anybody that is not for me is against me. There's no middle ground in Christendom. We need to understand that. There's no liberal ground except in blessings, but there is no middle ground whatsoever. Carolyn.
Thank you.
Okay. C. This was the promised gift of the Father to the Son and the Savior's promised gift to his believing people. It's important to understand that Luke 49 passage, first of all, who is he speaking to? Okay, look at verse 45. It says Luke 24:45. Read it. Read 45, David.
Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures.
Okay, go ahead. Keep reading.
And said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem."
And 48.
And you are witnesses of these things.
And then the promise.
Yeah. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high.
Okay. You see the sequence there?
Mm-hmm.
Starting in that verse, he's talking to his people. He's not talking to the lost. He's talking to born again, to disciples of Christ. D, this reconciles the apparent contradiction of Christ's earlier and later words in John 14:16. John 14:16, this reconciles, the Luke passage reconciles 14:16. Diane.
John 14:16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever.
There you go. And then he tells you who it is in 17. Go ahead.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you.
Okay, so you see he's verifying what I said before, that the Spirit has nothing to do with anybody outside of Christ. That's an important distinction. And then John 16:7. Vinny. John 16:7.
But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor or comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you.
Okay. So here's again the promise that the comforter would come to Christ's people. E. The Spirit was the Father's answer to the prayer of the Son, and so the gift was transferred by him to the mystical body of which he is the head. Now, when I say mystical body, what am I referring to?
The church, the people.
The visible body. Why is it just the visible body? First of all, how many bodies are there?
One.
And where do they live? Great answer. Where do they live? Right? But where is their physical presence?
Oh, the physical body of the Church of Christ?
The what?
It's the Church of Christ you're talking about?
I'm talking about there's one body, but it's separated by two locales.
Yes, there's one that's living inside of us, and that's the Holy Spirit, and then the physical body is through his church.
Okay, close.
Save the body.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Have any bodies that are already with Jesus and then the mystical body present with us here?
Right. In other words, everything you said is true. Not so much for David, but everything you said is true. And it's because there's one body, but it's separated by one has been completely regenerated, and the other one is in the process of being conformed to the image of the Son. And at the right time, God calls those people home, and they are completely regenerated. And I don't look at it like heaven and earth. I look at it as full regeneration and incomplete regeneration, because it helps me deal with my will and the other things, because I know that's the process I'm going through here. That's the process we're all going through here. Now, for some people, that process is a long time. There have been people who have been Christians who will be Christians for 40, 50, 60, maybe 70 years. And then there's other people like the thief on the cross who was here for 3 hours. So in between that, is places where we fall, but all of it, every single bit of it, has to do with us being conformed, and that's the key we have to keep in mind. And I just want to say this, and I'll put this over here. I know heaven is there. That ticket is already paid for. I got the ticket on my spiritual dresser, waiting for the time when I go home just to pick it up and I'm out of here, okay? I don't need a shuttle. I don't need nothing. I just got an angel coming to get me and we're off. My concern is now, always now. And here's the reason why. If I sit here and I consider all the blessings I have, and which is not bad to do, by the way, but if I sit here and I realize that I have one shot at doing something for my beloved Savior and something for my glorious Father, and I have and the Holy Spirit, I have one time to do it. It may be just today. Today may be the last day I serve you or him down here. We don't know. So by looking at your life from a servant's perspective and realizing that one day soon we're all going to be with him, even a little Paxton, okay? Because life, what is life? It's a vapor. It goes so quick. Mm-hmm. Everybody here, mm-hmm. I bet you, Harold could tell us how fast 100 years goes. Because he's 100. He knows how fast it goes. And yes. He wants to say, well, what about my point? Yeah, from my point of view, his life just started. That is too funny. All right. So looking at the body of Christ from a completely regenerated to a partially regenerated, put your feet on the ground. It gives you the setting you need in your mind to go through the day and realize I got one shot at it. And you know something, I don't know how you feel about that, but I got to tell you something. That is the key issue in my life every day. I got one shot to love somebody more than I ever did. I got one shot to help somebody. I got one shot to glorify God with one more word. Because when I get to heaven, it's all done. Done. No Bible. No sin. No, I'll be fully regenerated. And it's over. It's time for the rest that Christ promises. We will be with him in eternal rest. But you got one shot, and this is what I think. That's why I put the Bible over here. And what I believe in my heart is this, that the more we do for Christ, the more we glorify God, the more we kill will and yield to the fruit of the Spirit, the more of that we do, the closer we'll approach to the throne room of God, and I think that's the rewards the Bible speaks of. To be the closer you are to Christ here absolutely means the closer you'll be to him in glory. The farther you are from him means exactly the same thing. Now, is there any pain? Is there any suffering in heaven? No, not at all. But see, we're looking at it from not a totally regenerated point of view. If we looked at it from a regenerated point of view, and we could say, if you were there and you saw the glory there is to be near Christ, I don't have any doubt that all of us would our lives would be changed immediately. And the reason that would be is because we realize that the whole purpose of this life is to draw close to God here so we're able to do it in heaven, because that's where the blessings are. That's where the glory is. Around the Shekinah glory of God, just being in his presence, that is really the way you should live your life every day. Like none of us, well, I don't know, I shouldn't say this, but I assume none of us were born into this world with a silver spoon where we had unlimited luxury and everything, and we could go and do whatever we wanted, whenever we wanted, all this other. I don't know that, but I know this, that if I bring glory to God, if I draw close to God now, I have absolute assurance that I'll do the same in heaven. Then anything I don't accumulate here because of my work for him, it's well worth it. Because go ahead. Oh, amen.
You know, Piper wrote a good book. Don't waste your life. Piper wrote a good book about this.
look at him. That's it. Only one light. Yeah. Right away, as soon as you say it.
Yeah.
So all is confirmation. See, it's all it's all confirmed.
I have it here.
All right. All one body. And here's the reason why. Because the saints that are in heaven, right, are no different than you and I, except they're perfect. You have the same Christ, you have the same Holy Spirit, you have the same Father, you have the same doctrine, except now they don't have to have a Bible, they don't have to have a pastor, they don't need to have any of that stuff, because they are with the Word. But it's all one church. That's why it's important you understand that Israel is no, there's no separate work there. Israel was God's people. Abraham was not a Jew. He was called. Irresistible call came to his life. He accepted it. He believed and he accepted it by faith that God gave him. And it was no different. His salvation was no different than it was for Diane or Wink or any of us. Exactly the same. One people. He dealt with Israel differently, just as he dealt with the church differently. He deals, everybody got, everybody has a different, he deals with them differently, because every single, I think there's, if you counted them, maybe seven of them that are different, with what I call dispensations, points in time when God dealt with people different ways. And it wasn't that he changed. They were new covenants that he made with his people, and all of them had one purpose: to get to Calvary. That was the that is the ending covenant right there. And after the New Testament, there is no covenant. They're done. Yes.
He practically dealt with them differently, but Jesus' blood was efficacious for all of them.
Yes.
And that's
yes. We used that before. In the Old Testament, there was no Christ. There was the promise of Christ. And when saints died, their sins were covered over by the blood of animals. It was not forgiven. But that the blood of Christ was like a credit card. That is, that hit the grace of that extended back all the way to Abel until he came, so they could rest in paradise. And then when he came, the credit card paid it in full at Calvary, so then they were transferred to heaven. And we go directly to heaven. Everybody get it? But that blood was efficacious then. As well as, we could add, if the Lord tarries and doesn't come back for another 1,000 years, all those future generations, that blood that was shed a little over 2,000 years ago, will be 3,000 years old, and it'll be just as fresh as the day it was spilled. Everybody get it?
Yeah.
All right. The Spirit was the Father's answer to his prayer. The advent of the Holy Spirit was God's grace flowing to the Gentiles. Now, why did God's grace have to flow to the Gentiles? Why did he want the Gentiles to be involved in salvation? Why did Christ want that? Or why did God want that?
I don't know if this is right. Possibly because he wanted to make the Jews jealous, to bring them back.
No. Somebody else.
They were all Gentiles in the beginning.
They were all Gentiles in the beginning? That's right.
Mm-hmm. Abraham, mm-hmm. being that he was a Gentile, since mm-hmm. they were pagan, was, mm-hmm. that, it wasn't a difference. He created an equal as it was equal in the beginning.
Right. But that's not the answer. You're right.
God makes no distinction.
That's true.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true. Because he made a covenant. He made a covenant with Abraham, called the Abrahamic Covenant. He says, I will make you the father of what?
All nations.
Israel's responsibility was to go out and to proselyte the world. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do it. Instead, they started worshiping. Instead of worshiping God, they started worshiping the law. They started adding to the mm-hmm. law and becoming little demigods. Okay? So that's the reason why the Gentiles were called, because they were called with Abraham through the Abrahamic covenant. And Christ's death and resurrection fulfill that. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of the writers of the Bible. Luke was not a Jew. Mark was a Jew. Matthew was a Jew. John was a Jew. Luke was not a Jew. Who else? Peter? They were all except Luke, I guess. Luke was a Gentile. He was a doctor, a physician. So the Gentiles were grafted in Abraham, in the Abrahamic covenant. And the first taste of this grace was seen in Luke 24:47. Did we do that already?
Yeah.
Let's do it again. Luke 24:47. June.
24:47. 24:47.
Yeah.
Okay. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem.
There you go. All right? That's the
proof. Started with 46.
Yeah. And then A, and that wasn't because the Jews had a covenant standing before God. The nation was abandoned by him before the crucifixion. Let's go to Matthew 23:37-38. Carolyn.
Matthew